Quietly orbiting overhead, the International Space Station circles the Earth roughly 16 times per day, giving its passengers a unique view of our planet. Only a handful of people are able to make that journey. NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff shares how classroom teachers may offer their students a glimpse via the latest IMAX film, A Beautiful Planet.
On Earth, we have everything we need to survive. Air to breathe, and food and water to sustain life. It's incredible the effort that was needed to design this life support system flying around the planet.
Toni Myers has been making IMAX documentary films for decades. She wrote and edited the first IMAX film that was shot on the space shuttle, called The Dream is Alive, back in 1984, and since then has focused on the Hubble Space Telescope in 2010 and the International Space Station in 2002. Her most recent IMAX space film is A Beautiful Planet, narrated by Jennifer Lawrence and featuring several astronauts on the ISS. I had the opportunity to speak with Myers and James Nyhaus, the director of photography, at the opening of the film at Pacific Science Center in early May. Both Myers and Nyhaus are enthusiastic about the potential impact of their work on young people and are interested in how teachers use films in the classroom. While discussing the relationship between documentary and feature films, Myers mentioned a joint interview she did with Christopher Nolan, director of Interstellar. Nolan discussed how inspired he was by one of Myers' early films and how much that film influenced his work on Interstellar. A Beautiful Planet follows several ISS crew members through their time on the station, typically a six-month posting.
The arrival to the space station was possibly the happiest moment of my life.
That was a pretty wild ride.
Looking at Earth from space, we need to start to consider ourselves more as crew members, not passengers.
Hello, world.
The ISS is always staffed by an international crew. In the film, we see Russian, American, Italian, Japanese, and Canadian crew members working together. New members arrive and depart on Russian Soyuz capsules, each one carrying three people up to the ISS, then taking three back down to Earth. Supplies like food, water, and other consumables are shipped on unmanned rocket systems, such as the SpaceX Dragon. In addition to showing what life on the ISS is like for the crew, the film gives a real sense of the fragility of our home planet. Earth can be thought of as a space station for all humanity, so we need to protect it, a message I am sure science teachers will support. I also noticed some interesting details that teachers could use to make concrete connections to specific science content. The astronauts talk about watching thunderstorms from the ISS, and how beautiful the lightning flashes are as they happen by the hundreds over huge land areas. Lightning flashes are blue-white in color, while city lights look more orange-yellow. A bit later in the film, another astronaut notes that he can recognize commercial fishing vessels in Southeast Asia by their green lights. That got me thinking about why each of these three types of light looks so different. The blue-white color of lightning indicates that most of the light energy is in shorter wavelengths. Blue and violet are the shortest wavelengths our eyes can see. Short wavelengths indicate high temperature, and lightning frequently reaches 50,000 degrees Celsius. In the cities, low-pressure sodium vapor lamps produce a distinctive yellow light because the emission spectrum of elemental sodium includes just two bright peaks at 589 and 589.6 nanometers. The monochromatic quality of streetlights means that objects in the light often don't look right. Shining yellow light on a blue object makes that blue object look black, for example, since all the yellow light is absorbed and little or no light is reflected. Sodium lights are used simply because they're inexpensive to operate. The bulbs last a long time and they don't use much energy. On the other hand, fishing lights are carefully designed to produce green light as a way to attract fish close to the fishing boat or dock. The idea is that the bright green light attracts small prey animals like phytoplankton and shrimp, which then attracts larger bait fish, which then brings in the larger game fish. While lights have been used for a long time, green LEDs and fluorescent lights have become affordable recently and are widely used in the fishing industry. Watching the film, I was also struck by how much exercise the astronauts on the ISS crew are required to do while on board, and by the zero-G exercise equipment. Each crew member is expected to put in 2 hours on the treadmill and hydraulic weight bench every day. To stay attached to the treadmill, astronauts wear a harness around their waist and over their shoulders that's connected by elastic cords to the base of the treadmill. Since lifting weights doesn't provide much exercise on the ISS, they have a machine that uses hydraulic pistons, like those in car shock absorbers or to close your screen door, to provide resistance to motion. The exercise not only keeps muscles strong, but also reduces bone loss during their time on the station. Teachers who have the opportunity should encourage their students to see A Beautiful Planet, now showing nationwide, to take advantage of this chance to get kids excited about space travel and be inspired to protect the Earth. The film also provides the opportunity to talk about light spectra, human physiology, and make connections between documentary and feature films.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
I've been waiting for this moment to come by.
The best part about being an astronaut is looking back at our home planet. Especially at night, the cities are so bright and so vibrant and so colorful.
It is just overwhelmingly beautiful.
The world is
IMAX, in cooperation with NASA, invites you aboard the International Space Station for an incredible journey.